The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop, looking out over London.
Good night, and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight. With Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high-wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
And we're back to kick off another week. Yes, our week here starts on Tuesdays. I'm Nicole Sandler, here with you at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. And you know what? I thought we'd start off with some good news, good tentative news. I'll do it very lightly, because these things are delicate and can fall apart. But the governor of West Virginia, Jim Justice, announced via Twitter, these are new times, that a deal has been reached in the West Virginia teacher strike. Here's what he tweeted out. "We have reached a deal. I stood rock solid on the 5% teacher pay raise and delivered. Not only this," he wrote, "but my staff and I made additional cuts, which will give all state employees 5% as well. All the focus should have always been on fairness and getting the kids back in school." So, not sure when school starts up again, but the West Virginia Metro News is reporting that cheers could be heard in the Capitol hallways after the tweet was released. Teachers throughout West Virginia have been on strike for more than a week, protesting daily at the state's capital. The strike started when teachers deemed a proposed pay raise to be insufficient. Their health benefits were also slated to take a cut this coming year. The strike affected more than 277,000 students in the state. Meanwhile, what happened is the 5% pay raise passed the House but stalled in the Senate, where they only approved a 4% pay raise. So I don't know what changed other than the governor saying this. I guess we'll wait and see what happens with whether or not the Senate comes around. But that is good news. The other good news is it's election day in Texas. We are off and running. It is primary season has begun, but the 2018 midterm elections have officially begun now with primary day in Texas. And on this program, over the past few months, we've spoken with a couple of congressional candidates from Texas. Dana Steele, who is sort of a sister in spirit of mine, she spent many years doing middays at the big rock station in Houston. Her name is Dana Steele, and she decided this time around to throw her hat in the ring, and she's running for the Democratic nomination from Texas's 36th congressional district. Now, granted, it's a long shot for her. It's a very Republican district. It's been in the hands of Republicans forever. And I believe there's a pretty steep, group of Democrats running for this nomination as well. But good for her. The reason I had Dana on two or three times, actually, is because to show that anybody can do it. It's still not too late, depending where you are, to throw your hat in the ring and run for office. There are more women running for office this time out than I think ever before in our history as a country. And God knows we need us. Yes, we really need us. Also, we've had on the program a couple of times Derek Crow, who is running in the 21st district, which encompasses part of Austin. But Texas is so gerrymandered that in addition to the very liberal Austin, he's got some really red surrounding areas. But again, kind of a crowded field on the primary side. But his opponent, and I forget who holds the seat now, is stepping down, is not running for re-election, so it's an open seat. Derek Crow, unlike Dana, because he's more established, has gotten a lot of endorsements from many progressive groups. He was endorsed by Blue America, DCCC, not the DCCC. That was a Freudian slip. The PCCC, the Progressive Change Campaign Committee, Democracy for America, all the progressive groups really got in there behind Derek Crowe. I first met him years ago when he worked for Brave New Films. He headed up their Rethink Afghanistan division and that film. And he's the real deal. So hopefully some of our friends will win in the primaries today in Texas. If you have not yet voted, what are you waiting for? Get out and vote, please. Things are also looking pretty good for Beto O'Rourke, who is a congressman who is now running for the Senate to take on Ted Cruz for his Senate seat. I don't know if he's got any challengers in the primary, Beto O'Rourke, but it's looking pretty good for him to be the challenger. Then he's got an uphill fight. And this is, you know, when you move from primary season into general election season, and they have a long one in Texas. So that's all going on. In other breaking news, according to the Office of the Special Counsel, and this is not Robert Mueller's office, this is a different special counsel office, Kellyanne Conway violated the Hatch Act twice in promoting Roy Moore for Senate. Now, the Hatch Act, and I'm paraphrasing here, so don't hold me to this, basically says you're not allowed to use your political position in the executive to shill for a candidate. And Kellyanne Conway got on TV at least twice and was shilling for Roy Moore. Remember that, when she was advocating for a child molester to be the next senator from Alabama? Now, if this was any other president, especially a Democrat, you would hear screams and cries for her to be fired or to be locked up or worse, because this is a crime. But this White House gets away with so much crap. It's stunning. And it's not only Kellyanne Conway violating the Hatch Act. It's Trump himself violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, of breaking so many laws, so many rules, and because there's this plethora of stuff happening. We were all preoccupied yesterday by, what's his name? Nunberg. We'll get to that. We certainly will get to that. The hard news stories just go by because there's nobody in the Republican Party who will take on this president. It's a good thing we have late night comedians who take him on. So yesterday, Sam Nunberg, who was a former aide to Trump. He worked for Trump for a number of years, up through the early part of the campaign. He's more of a Roger Stone sycophant, as we learned, if you didn't already know yesterday. So Stephen Colbert did, and I found a bunch of stories on what happened yesterday, Sam Nunberg's meltdown on TV. But Stephen Colbert had one of the best takes on it.
Right before we taped this show, the entire news cycle jumped on the bus to Crazy Town. At the wheel, former Trump campaign aide and guy telling the stripper how much he loves his kids, Sam Nunberg. Here's what happened.
Okay, what happened?
Here's what happened.
Yes.
Robert Mueller issued a subpoena to Nunberg to get him to testify about the Russia investigation. And not only did Nunberg say he won't show up, he said he was planning to go on Bloomberg TV and tear up the subpoena. No. Smart thinking. Do it on Bloomberg. No witnesses. But Nunberg isn't afraid of spilling on TV. This afternoon, he took to MSNBC's Katie Turr to complain about the subpoena. Nunberg had some issues with Mueller's line of questioning.
You know what they asked, which was ridiculous to me? They asked things like, did you hear people speaking Russian in the Trump office?
To which I said, absolutely not. Nunberg seemed to acknowledge how far he was flying off the handle here.
If I could tell you, once again, Katie, Donald Trump being involved in conservative politics was not good for his business. By the way, I think my lawyer's going to dump me right now.
Sam, I think your dentist is going to dump you right now. Nunberg Nunberg had some damning information, maybe.
Maybe.
I want to hear directly from you. Do you think that they have something on the president?
I think they may.
What?
I think that he may have done something during the election, but I don't know that for
Why
sure.
Do you...
Yes.
Wow. Just wow.
Finally. The smoking gun. Maybe, possibly, not for sure. Who's to say? What is a gun anyway? I'm not coming in. But that was just the beginning. Nunberg took over cable news like a car chase. He was on MSNBC at 2:45, CNN at 3:30, and CNN again at 4 o'clock.
And back on MSNBC at 6.
He called HGTV to incriminate himself on Flip or Flop. I'm pretty sure after Mueller gets through with him, it's going to be Flip. On the CNN,
yes.
He revealed who is to blame for this whole Russia investigation.
Donald Trump caused it because he's an idiot, because he decided to give an interview to Lester Holt the day after he fired James Comey, and then he decided to have the Russians in the Oval Office. You have to explain that one to me, because I'll never understand it.
Oh, I can explain it. He was colluding with the Russians, and he said it out loud because Donald Trump is an idiot. But Nunberg didn't make himself look all bad. He made sure to distance himself from disgraced former Trump campaign aide Carter Page.
They asked me about communications with Carter Page. Do you think I would communicate with Carter Page?
Carter
Page is a scumbag.
Okay.
As opposed to communicating with Don Jr., who's a much classier scum briefcase.
All right. It goes on, and I could keep going, but enough of that for now. We may get to more of Sam Nunberg, just because there was so much of Sam Nunberg yesterday. On the Twitters today, some are excoriating the media for allowing him to go on. Some were saying he was drunk. In fact, in What's News, you'll hear a little clip where Aaron Burnett, I think I included that in What's News today, asks him if he was drinking, and he denies it. You know, this is sad. This is sad because obviously somebody who with limited mental capacity is being dragged down while Donald Trump continues to hold court in the Oval Office. I don't know. Nothing makes sense anymore, except that it's Tuesday, and on Tuesdays, Gotta Laugh is here, so we'll go through the news as gleaned from Laffy's Twitter feed and her tweet spot, but before we get to that, there's more news in What's News.
I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Tuesday is primary day in Texas, officially kicking off the 2018 midterm election season. Early voting numbers show Democrats outvoted Republicans in the top 15 counties. A former aide to Donald Trump's campaign went rogue on Monday. Sam Nunberg called into a few cable TV shows and a bizarre series of interviews. After telling The Washington Post that a new subpoena from Special Counsel Robert Mueller was too burdensome, Nunberg said he would not comply and dared Mueller to throw him in jail. Here's part of his interview with Aaron Burnett on CNN.
Say what you want, and I've said that Rosenstein was right to launch this independent counsel. But for me to have to, after I sat there and I cooperated with them and why do I have to give them every communication I had with Steve Bannon, Roger Stone?
Because they asked for it, and it's the special counsel.
Okay, fine. We'll find out. You know what? We'll find out. I think this is history. So we'll see. I think it's 50-50 what Mueller will do. I don't think he knows what he's going to do. What do you think he's going to do?
So is this sort of like you're doing, is this a game of chicken for you right now?
No, it's not a game of chicken. It's just that I think that after I went in there once again, what do we have? What do all of us have to do to continue with this? You know, what are they going to continue to ask us for stuff? It's ridiculous.
That does come back to the question that I think we've all repeatedly had: is if you have nothing to hide, why not just answer every question they have? Who cares? 80 hours out of your life. You don't do it, you could go to prison. That's, I think, the fundamental question people have watching. Why not just answer the questions?
Because once again, and this goes back to something else. And, by the way, whatever Trump did, and if he did something, whatever Trump did, he was going to get away with it, so he shouldn't have fired Comey. Okay. But I don't like the fact that they did they treat Hillary Clinton people like this when they were investigating the emails? Did they?
Aye.
Did they? Did they ask?
Again, I don't. We don't have the subpoenas. I'm not sure.
Okay, so let's see them.
So Sam, I have to ask you one other thing.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's an awkward question to ask, but you know, I've interviewed you before. You're sitting very close to me.
Yes.
We talked earlier about what people in the White House were saying about you.
Yeah.
Talking about whether you were drinking or on drugs or whatever they had happened today. Talking to you,
yeah.
I have smelled alcohol on your breath.
Well, I have not had a drink.
You haven't had a drink, so that's not.
No.
So I just, because it is the talk out there, again, I know it's awkward, let me just give you the questions. Well, you can categorically answer that. Have you had a drink today?
My answer is no, I have not.
Anything else?
No.
No.
No. Besides my meds.
Okay.
Antidepressants, is that okay?
No, I'm just trying to understand.
Well, look, they
what
can say,
today.
They can say whatever they want. I don't really care. What, once again, they're pathetic. Their president has a 33%.
Republican lawmakers on Monday pressured Trump to reverse course on his plan to impose steep tariffs on imports of steel and aluminum, arguing it threatens the U.S. economy and GOP majorities in Congress. Trump insists we'll be going along with his plan.
No, we're not backing down. Mexico is, we've had a very bad deal with Mexico, very bad deal with Canada. It's called NAFTA. Our factories have left our country, our jobs have left our country. For many years, NAFTA has been a disaster. We are renegotiating NAFTA, as I said I would. And if we don't make a deal, I'll terminate NAFTA. But if I do make a deal, which is fair to the workers and to the American people, that would be, I would imagine, one of the points that we'll negotiate. It will be tariffs on steel for Canada and for Mexico. So we'll see what happens. But right now, 100%. But it could be a part of NAFTA. And I understand I just got a call from the people who are right now in Mexico City negotiating NAFTA. Mexico and really Canada want to talk about it. But if they aren't going to make a fair NAFTA deal, we're just going to leave it this way. People have to understand our country on trade has been ripped off by virtually every country in the world, whether it's friend or enemy. Everybody. China, Russia. And take people that we think are wonderful, the European Union. We can't do business in there. They don't allow. They have trade barriers that are worse than tariffs. They also have tariffs, by the way, but they have trade barriers far worse than tariffs. And if they want to do something, we'll just tax their cars that they send in here like water.
The teacher strike in West Virginia is in its ninth day.
Today, an extremely important day with the committee taking up this issue of whether or not teachers get either 5 or 4%. You will not leave here without a victory.
I hope not. We need a victory in this. We deserve it. We need it. Not just for me, but for every teacher in the state of West Virginia and every state trooper in West Virginia and all public employees.
Amy, your message to parents. It has been 8 days now without public school throughout the entire state. Some perhaps getting a little frustrated, but you are feeling support. What's your message to them?
That Mitch Carmichael is the big bad wolf in this story. Mitch Carmichael, the Speaker of the Senate, he needs to just suck it up. Give us the 5%. That's what the governor and the union leaders agreed on. It's what should happen. I got the
news. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener funded, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
You're listening to the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com. And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment. Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Ah, yes. Every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we shoot the shit about what's going on in the news. First, we got to get her on the line. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Trumpy Oscars hotline.
Oh, okay.
Press 1 if you think Trump finally got a legitimate win. The Trumpy Award for Best Autobiographical Short, I, Kanye. Press 2 if you think Ivanka's entry should have won the Best Visual Effects Award for The Shape of Father. Press 3 if you think Robert Mueller swept the awards with Best Picture. 3 indictments outside Ebbing, Missouri.
Uh-huh.
Have a nice day.
You too. You got me for a second. The iConya, it took me a moment.
You got to read it.
I get it. iConya, Tanya.
It's more of a visual. Yeah, but yeah, iTanya, icon, yeah.
Got it.
It's kind of hard to read that and make you see what I'm saying, but you got it.
I got it. Took me a second. I'm a little slow today, but
that's why I put that one first, by the way. Uh-huh. So it gives you a little more time to absorb.
Oh boy. Okay, Oscars it was kind of a boring show.
Yeah, it went forever. Can you even believe how it was like almost 4 hours?
Was it? Yeah. I know it was long. And the whole thing, they kept talking about how long it was, and then Jimmy Kimmel would do these stupid bits, like walking across the street to a movie theater. It's like, then why? And letting some of the people ramble on just forever. Forget about the thank you speeches, right. But in their introduction, in their whatever they do, their presenting speeches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, I thought I said exactly what you did to Mr. Laffy when they went into that theater and started throwing hot dogs at everybody. I was like, if he's talking about giving away a jet ski to keep things short, right, then why in the world would they waste about 15 minutes, you know, schlepping into the theater, throwing candy, talking to the guy with the beard? What was the point of any of that?
I guess it was supposed to be entertaining, supposed to be the operative phrase in there.
Well, whenever they do with, you know, these contrived bits, they fall flat. I don't know why they haven't learned that by now.
Yeah. You know, they try.
Just terrible. Yeah, well, whatever. It was dumb. It was boring. It was predictable. Everybody knew who was going to win.
Yeah, although some thought Three Billboards. We actually saw Three Billboards, and I'm glad it didn't win because I didn't think it was a great movie by a long shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this was one of the first years we saw all the movies that were up for Best Picture.
And so how was The Shape of Water? Was it any good?
It was really interesting, really different, well done, except, and this is my thing, this, you know, other people won't care about this, but it got really gory.
Oh, really?
At one point, and I didn't understand why they would do that. Hmm. It was like this whole sort of cool, romantic fantasy kind of thing, and it was like I was really into it. And then they did this violent part, and I was like, well, you know, you could have done that without all the blood. You didn't need to do that. It was very graphic, and it just upset me. I didn't like that. But I really liked The Post, and I really liked, what's her name, Lady Bird.
Uh-huh.
And they got nothing.
Right. Yeah.
I tend to like more, I guess,
character studies.
Right. Yeah. And they did that well. I think Meryl Streep really did that well in the Post. And plus, I like the story of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Lady Bird, I really was hoping that, I've forgotten her name and I shouldn't. The mother should have gotten an award.
Oh, Allison Janney. She did.
No. That was the mother in I, Tonya.
Oh, you're right. Oh, Lady Bird. Right.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that one. I keep wanting to see it. I've heard it's great.
It was just a nice movie. And I, Tonya, you know, it was better than I thought it was going to be, but it was very caricaturish. And it was like a cartoon bad mom, abusive mom. Uh-huh. And I didn't think that deserved an Academy Award.
Okay. Well, good to know. That's I didn't see most of the movies. I haven't. I don't get out much these days.
Well, we get screeners, or we wouldn't have seen them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I just we never have time to do all this stuff. Right. So we kind of jam them all in and binge watch.
Mm-hmm.
But then I have different tastes in movies than most people. I did see Three Billboards, and there was a lot to like about it, but I didn't understand what all the excitement was about.
Nor did I.
I liked her in it. I thought she was really good. I mean, I thought they were all really good.
Mm-hmm.
They all did good job. I mean, I thought in just about every movie, the acting and production values and stuff were really good. It was just what would hit me emotionally. And I just have different tastes, I guess, quieter tastes than a lot of people.
Yeah, well, at least, I mean, a little sort of indie movie. I'm guessing The Shape of Water is a little indie movie. It's certainly not one of the big blockbusters. So there's that. I tend to like the smaller, quieter movies as well.
I definitely. I just think it takes more thought when you develop a character beautifully like that. And they, you know, they did that. And I also saw Get Out, and I thought that was interesting.
I loved Get Out. Yeah. You know, it came on HBO, and David saw it, and he didn't even get halfway through it. He was impatient with it. Okay. But I loved it. I thought it was great.
I thought it was really good. Again, that's not my style of movie in terms of genre, mm-hmm. but I thought the acting and you know, of course, what was the underlying, you know, message yes. and all that was terrific and different. And I loved that. So I could really appreciate it. If it was any other movie, I don't know if I would have been as interested because, again, it's not my type of genre. I don't really like go horror. For... horror movies, yeah, but right. it was more
horror comedy. It was it was different.
There was a lot to it, and the yes. acting was great.
Yes, it was, and a great cast too.
Yeah.
All right, so this has been Laffy and Nicole talk at the movies.
Yeah, well, you know, movies were my not movies, but that entertainment was my life for so many years with TV and writing mm-hmm. and stage and all that. That I get really into it. I mean, I could do an hour on this, but yeah. Maybe we got other things to talk about, right?
We do. Shall we head on over to the tweet spot?
Yeah, I see it right over there.
Okay. There they are.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
All right. So lots of stuff. Oh, my God. Today, there's just all kinds of stuff going on.
Yeah, I have a few tweets up, just kind of random tweets. But one comment on yesterday with Nunberg, I live tweeted it. And one of the things he said was that it was a witch hunt. He said, Roger Stone is like family to me. I'm not going to do it. Nunberg said to Katie Tour, I'm not a fan of Trump. He's right. It's a witch hunt. And then he goes on to say that Mueller has something on Trump. So how much of a witch hunt can it be?
Do you think he was drunk?
I never make calls like that. I don't do armchair.
Right.
Whatever. It's a habit. I just won't do it. I don't like when people do it about Trump, about, you know, everybody was diagnosing him with Alzheimer's. He doesn't have Alzheimer's. Or at least I don't think he has Alzheimer's. I think he's got maybe other things that affect him,
and
but
God
I've cared for
the United States.
I was just saying,
and God bless the United States.
He's got other problems. That's
but I've cared for so many Alzheimer's family member patients mm-hmm. and am currently caring for one that, and they, you know, each person has it slightly differently than the next, but the symptoms are basically the same. And if he passed that test that he passed, that's a memory test basically, and coordination, and he hasn't gotten any worse really in the last, say, 2 months or 3 months since he took it. Or however long it's been, I don't really think that's his problem. I think he's got emotional issues. I think he may have psychological issues,
mm-hmm.
Even some memory issues, but that doesn't mean he has Alzheimer's.
Right, right. Oh, I agree. I agree that I'm not a doctor, so I don't diagnose. The only reason I was asking is, you know, I listen for slurred words. And I didn't hear any of that.
No,
he always sounds a little goofy to me.
He always does. I think I've read and heard other people who have actually interviewed him 100 times say the same thing that we're saying. He's basically a goofy guy. And he has other issues. And maybe he had a drink because if she said she smelled alcohol, so perhaps he had a drink. I don't know. I didn't think he was drunk. He was the same on every single show. He didn't get worse. He didn't get better. He rambled. He's a
boy,
quirky
did
guy.
He ramble. You know, I saw him. I didn't see him on with Katie Tour. I saw pieces of it afterwards. And then I saw his whole thing on with Ari Melber, where he just didn't want to leave, and he kept going and digging himself in deeper and deeper. And then after that, I saw the appearances on CNN. It's like, wow, this guy's disturbed. And that all came after he spoke to the Washington Post and to some local, I guess, New York media. And wow, obviously he's troubled. And I guess I would be too if I got this huge subpoena from Robert Mueller's office. You know, I think he's scared. more than
anything
else.
Well, yeah, and I think he's excessively loyal to Roger Stone.
Yeah.
But it got to the point in Ari's, I saw two of the, and then I saw clips from CNN, but I saw the two MSNBC interviews. I live tweeted Katie Tours. I did a little live tweeting of Ari Melber's, but it got repetitive, and that's what annoyed me. It was getting to the point where he was saying the same thing over and over again. I'm standing up for Roger Stone. It's all about Roger Stone. Roger's like a dad to me. Roger, Roger, Roger. You know, Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. And at that point, it wasn't constructive at all. That point, it was just, let's see this oddity on TV. And I got fed up with it.
Yeah. And Axios wrote something this morning about how it was sort of, what's the word? Taking advantage of him, basically. And look, if I don't know that I would have made a different call. He's there. He's offering to go on the air with you. You're going to talk to him. Let him talk because
you're hoping he'll say something different and new.
Yeah.
No, I don't blame them. He made himself available and he was interesting watching. But again, it did get to the point of repetition. So it went from this is fascinating. This is an oddity. I can't, get myself away from the TV. It's like watching a train wreck. And then it just like was the same train wreck over and over and over again, like watching a rerun. So I lost interest. I said at one point on Twitter when I was live tweeting it, okay, I'm so over him. We're done. I'm done with this. So,
And someone in the chat room was saying that maybe this was a ploy to make him seem less credible to Mueller's office, which I don't know that he's smart enough for that, honestly.
It wouldn't matter anyway, because Mueller knows what he's doing. And, and it's some stupid appearances on TV isn't going to change anything that Mueller does other than maybe get more information from him. But,
perhaps.
I think that Mueller looks at that and says, okay, let's match that with anything you're going to tell us because we'll know what you're, what you're trying to cover up and what you're not.
You know, my question is emails from 2015. Now, I'm one of those people, I don't delete anything. I go through and delete a lot of junk, but emails that I generally don't delete, but I thought I was the oddity. Are people expected to keep all the emails they get for years and years and years?
Well, not only that, but, I delete my ones that don't mean anything, that I think don't mean anything, that I don't need to look back on. And then they'll disappear from your, at least Gmail. They delete them for you after 30 days or something.
Uh-huh.
I wouldn't have any. Now, maybe because he was talking to certain people about certain things, he may have kept some. But if it were like you and me emailing, we talk all the time, I would never think to keep those.
I know. So if they say, deliver us all your email correspondence between Nicole Sandler and Gotta Laugh from November 1st, 2015 to today, it's like I'd kind of freak out too. It's like what?
Exactly.
Nobody told me I had to keep them.
However, I did keep my screen grab of Roger Stone telling me to go choke on something and die. choke on your liberalism and die. I can't remember what he told me anymore, but he got mad at me because I called him out on a lie he told about Bill Clinton. And I didn't do it that harshly either. It was just slightly pointed. That was it. And he came back at me with this horrible thing and I kept it and I've been retweeting it ever since.
Oh, that's funny.
But he's a jerk. And when he was on your show, I don't know how you kept from screaming at him. Anyway, going to the Kelly Conway for hat violations thing.
Yes.
So Elijah Cummings, this is from Kyle Griffin from MSNBC. He tweeted, Elijah Cummings, quote, "The president must take swift and serious disciplinary action." I'm laughing because it's never going to happen.
Right.
Against Ms. Conway. Anything else is a terrible example. But Trump takes pride in setting terrible examples. So what's the point in, demanding, other than putting it on the record?
Well, exactly. Richard Painter tweeted, "This is proof positive that this White House is lawless. White House political hacks tout alternative law to go along with Kellyanne's alternative facts. Disgraceful."
Yeah, there you go. And then Finn Gomez, who is that? Finn Gomez, he's with Fox. So what do you know? Fox News White House producer covering the real Donald Trump. White House reaction was this. Kellyanne, he quotes the reaction. Kellyanne Conway did not advocate for or against the election of any particular candidate. Bullshit. She simply expressed the president's obvious position that he have people in the House and Senate who support his agenda. In fact, Kellyanne's statements, everything's cracking me up today. This is so stupid.
Well, it's better to laugh.
I guess that's where I got my name. In fact, Kellyanne's statements actually show her intention and desire to comply with the Hatch Act,
oh, God.
As she twice declined to respond to the host's specific invitation to encourage Alabamans to vote for the Republican, unquote. That's from the deputy press secretary. No, she violated the Hatch Act.
Right.
So,
well,
yeah.
Digby, just a little while ago, tweeted, watching Kellyanne Conway's energetic Hatch Act violations in favor of the disgusting pervert Roy Moore really illustrates just how utterly depraved everyone in Trump's orbit really is. She has sold her soul and she'll never get it back.
Right. And our buddy David Waldman, KGroX, said the White House doesn't get to make that call. The OSC does, and it's too late. It's already been done and two violations were found. What the White House can do is decline to punish the violations because they're pro-grift. So that's what they're doing.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So what are they going to do about it? Now, if this was somebody in the Obama administration guilty of the same thing, oh, my God, there'd be chance of lock her up. There'd be, I mean, it, and worse. And they'll do nothing.
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. Of course, comparing anybody to this administration is pointless because there is no comparison. These people are sick and delusional and crazy and name it. Okay, so switching topics, here's a random. Kyle Griffin, again, I think he's the MSNBC guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, a last word producer. Michael Flynn, who pleaded guilty to lying to FBI agents about his Russian contacts, has put his Virginia home up for sale to pay mounting legal fees. And so then Brian Klass, who is really good at what he does, he's a fellow at LSE Government it's British somehow. I don't know. He said, man who led chance of lock her up tries to sell house to pay for mounting legal fees after pleading guilty to a federal crime. So, yeah.
Karma.
You know, and then somebody said how they felt bad for Michael Flynn. I don't.
He got himself not in the least. Mm. Right.
I don't care one whit
no
about him.
There.
Okay. So here's a topic that's making my blood boil. And I know how you're going to react. It's a reaction to the Trump administration reversing their promise. In other words, they lied to ban elephant hunt trophies.
Oh my God. Yep.
Yeah. And so there's an article that Alyssa Milano tweeted out. I just read you the title. Mm-hmm. The U.S. government will allow hunters to import what they call elephant trophies. I call them, you know, bloody heads.
Yep.
On a case-by-case basis.
On a case-by-case basis. This means Trump will let his miscreant sons go over and do this.
That's right.
That's what it means.
That's exactly what it means. And so she said, Trump administration reverses promise to ban elephant hunt trophies because he's just a horrible human.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much.
He is.
Wouldn't even call him human at this
nope.
point. Here's an interesting little tidbit. This is from John Ward. He's with Yahoo News. And he said, oh, my dear Lord, Navarro, meaning Pete Navarro, became a Trump advisor because Kushner picked his name off an Amazon.com page.
Yes. Did you read this? Oh, my God.
Yes. Do you have it in front of you?
I don't have it in front of me, but I read
okay.
it.
Okay. Here it is. Navarro wound up, who's he quoting? Washington Post. Navarro wound up in this spot partly because of serendipity. Quote, at one point during the campaign, when Trump wanted to speak more substantively about China, he gave Jared Kushner a summary of his views and then asked him to do some research, unquote, Washington Post reporter wrote for Vanity Fair last year. Quote, Kushner simply went on Amazon where he was struck by the title of one book, Death by China, co-authored by Peter Navarro. He cold called Navarro, who agreed to join the team as an economic advisor. When he joined, Navarro was, in fact, the campaign's only economic advisor. The book was turned into a movie the following year. Quote, the best jobs program is trade reform with China, Navarro says in the film, which was narrated by Martin Sheen. It is one of more than a dozen books that Navarro has published. Another from 2001 was titled, If It's Raining in Brazil, Buy Starbucks. And then they go on to say, one reason, I've got to move your, the Skype thing is in the way here. Okay. One reason Navarro might enjoy being on TV is that most of his peers in the economics field do not take him seriously. Quote, Navarro's views on trade in China are so radical that even with his assistance, I was unable to find another economist who fully agrees with them. That from a New Yorker writer. Wow. So, I mean, that goes on and on. But can you even believe this?
He looked for a book on China, really.
Yes.
And found the name of the author and called him. This is who we have running this country.
Mm-hmm. This is how they run it. And right now, as we speak, we've got Trump talking with the Swedish prime minister. I've got the sound off, thank God. I guess we'll see what he said later. Here's a quote. This is a tweet of mine, but I had to read you the quote. Quote, Trump was saying this about the North Korea talks. He was blaming previous administrations for not having acted or, you know, taken action like he's doing. Uh-huh. And he said, quote, it shouldn't have been waited, unquote.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, that's...
What the hell?
Was that something he wrote or...
No, he said it out loud. I quoted him. He was being he was doing a press availability. Right. You know how they do when they sit down in the Oval or wherever.
Yeah,
they
like
not
a
the Oval,
spray.
And he was sitting with this prime minister, and somebody asked him about the North Korea South Korea talks, and he said it shouldn't have been waited.
I gave up trying to figure out what he's talking about a long time ago.
Yeah, he doesn't make sense when he's saying things correctly.
Exactly.
Oh, my God. This is from a tweet from Mrs. Betty Bowers, at Betty Bowers. She's funny. She said, Monday, ruins DACA by canceling it. Tuesday, why do Dems ruin DACA? Wednesday, I'm open to any deal on DACA. Thursday, rejects all deals on DACA. Friday, why won't Dems negotiate with me on DACA? Saturday, golf. Sunday, golf. She was reacting to his tweet, total inaction on DACA by Dems. Where are you? A deal can be made.
Yeah. And by the way, yesterday was the deadline, which has been sort of made moot because the court stepped in and said DACA is going to go on for at least another year. And of course, that makes Congress go, we don't have to do anything.
Exactly. But they never do anything anyway, so...
No.
When they do attempt
to do something, they wait until the very last minute. So now it's not the last minute anymore. So the courts bought the DACA recipients another year or so. Meanwhile, kids are still frightened that they're going to be deported.
And you know, I know that Democrats are saying continue to sign up. Or, you know, if it's expiring, re-sign up. But what kid is going to trust anybody once they put their name and address or wherever they have to put in there, like what happened now? So a year from now, after they put their information out and the government gets hold of it, they're going to feel betrayed again.
Yeah, but technically they're already in the system, so they already have their information.
Oh, well, that's true. You're right. Yeah,
they're not talking about new people signing up. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the status is for somebody who hadn't signed up before, but if you're already in the program, what they're saying is stay current with it.
No, right. But what about people who haven't signed up for
it
before?
I don't know.
Anyway, so now they're shaking hands. A Swedish guy's going to talk, and he'll make 20 times the sense Trump does because he's an educated person. All right. Tweets from yesterday, the ones I sent you. Okay, so Ken Vogel of the New York Times said, marketing the presidency, colon, Trump International ordered dozens of round 12-inch replicas of the presidential seal to be placed next to the tee boxes, T-E-E boxes,
yes, right,
at Trump golf courses. And by the way, that's been rectified as of today. Walt Schaub, a former director of the Office of Government Ethics, added, whoever knowingly, and this is quoting here from a law,
from US
whoever
code,
knowingly
right,
displays any printed likeness of the seals of president in any advertisement or any building in any manner reasonably calculated to convey approval shall be fined or imprisoned not more than 6 months. So,
right. So how has it been rectified?
It's been rectified. Yeah, I saw a tweet go by quickly. I couldn't tell you much more than that. But they made their changes, I guess.
So they're not going to put the presidential seal next to the tee boxes at Trump golf course holes?
I'm assuming they're not, and they just wasted a whole bunch of money making those things. Yep. So I don't know what they're going to do with those. Eat them.
Did you notice, by the way, I just got to say, remember the whole thing when Trump was meeting with the gun survivors, with the Parkland survivors, mm-hmm. and he had his little crib sheet that said, I hear you.
His
cuffs had number 45 embroidered on his shirts. Yes. Unbelievable. Yes. This man's ego could not be any bigger. It's just mind-blowing.
It's amazing. And a lot of people commented on it because live screen grabs were going out of that list that said, you know.
I hear you.
And included in that screen grab was his big fat hammy hands holding with his tiny little fingers holding on. And you could see the cuff.
The 45 so everybody went, wait embroidered a minute, on his cuff. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
All right. Jake Tapper said, as folks catch up on the news of YouTube temporarily suspending the account of InfoWars' Jerome Corsi for false smears against survivors of school shooting, refamiliarize yourself with the role he played in 2004 in falsely smearing the military service of John Kerry. And Maggie Haberman of the New York Times added, he had a substantial role in questioning President Obama's birthplace as well. So Jerome Corsi, who the conservative, you know, right-wing crazies love to rely on, got busted on YouTube.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it's make it permanent.
Time.
Right. The thing is, these things are only temporary. It should be permanent.
Yeah, well, that's what Tapper said, is temporarily suspending. It's just like with Twitter. You know, I've gotten a ton of these trolls at least temporarily suspended because they send me the reports. But then they come back because it is only temporary.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not fail.
Nope.
Anyway, Alan Rappaport from the New York Times said, Trump says new Israeli embassy will cost $250,000, not the $1 billion that he was told. And our buddy Josh Holland, who contributes to The Nation, replied, is it a studio or a one bedroom? I saw that
part yesterday when he had Bibi in his office and he was talking about they gave him something. It said $1 billion. He's like, what's this $1 billion? No, do it for 250,000. That's not a billion. It's 250,000.
Because he's such a deal maker. He was a wheeler dealer.
Oh, yeah.
Because only he can fix it. The AP tweeted out, Trump's family hotel business ousted from luxury hotel offices in Panama amid business dispute. And KGroX said, we're invading Panama.
That would seem to be the next likely move if you follow Trump's MO.
But one of my favorite things was today that they were sending around a clip of how they were chiseling off the T-R-U-M-P letters on the hotel. I said, why can't they just do that on the White House by removing the man himself? I wish they would.
Oh, you and me both.
Okay, so now they're asking Trump questions and Trump's nodding as if he understands them. Okay. Phil Rucker of Washington Post said the Steele memo says Kremlin intervened to block Trump's initial choice for Secretary of State Mitt Romney, who you'll remember called Russia America's number one geopolitical foe per Jane Mayer, mm-hmm. who, by the way, Hallie Jackson called Jane Meyer all morning.
Oh, God.
And Congressman Ted Lieu replied, read this Christopher Steele piece. Now consider, I'm sorry, I guess he said read this Christopher Steele piece. Now consider this. Tillerson has spent zero of the $120 million Congress gave him to counter election meddling. Trump refuses to implement bipartisan congressional sanctions on Russia. And Trump has not directed the FBI/NSA to counter Russian meddling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty stunning. This Jane Mayer piece, and I have not read it. It's a long one, apparently, like, you know, 9,000 words or something.
It's like 40 pages long. I read a lot of it.
But, you know, it says, first of all, there's a lot of there when it comes to Christopher Steele's memos.
Yes.
And that Trump has not authorized anything in terms of countering the election meddling that we know is going on again.
It's continued. It never stopped. I know that people on TV like to say it's going to happen again. It's definitely going to happen again.
Never stopped.
It hasn't stopped. They have been, and it's not meddling. My God, they are sabotaging. They are interfering. They are changing things, and they're doing it in Europe. They're doing it here, and nothing has changed, and it's getting worse. And other countries are going to jump in at this rate because they're going to see that
we're doing nothing about it.
Right.
And they're going to say, well, so why not play the game?
Oy,
although oy. Trump has now said they are going to apply sanctions.
Oh, really?
Yes, that was out today. Now, whether they do it or not, but that's what they've said.
Yeah,
that's
well, those were supposed to be in place how long ago?
Oh, months.
Yeah.
It's been months.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, so NRA TV,
uh-huh.
They tweeted a video with this quote from Dana Loesch. And by the way, it's pronounced Lash. I heard her say
yeah,
her name on
TV. Yeah, it's okay. I call her Loesch.
Oh, you! I definitely do. I just have been wondering how do you say? Because you know, I thought it would
I've
be
heard
like
it Lash. I've heard Lash, Lash, and Loesch. To me, I look at the way it's spelled, and it looks like Loesch to me. So that's what I'll go with.
Looks like loser to me, but
yeah,
that's another
well,
story.
Boom, boom.
So the quote was: the quote was to every lying member of the media, to every Hollywood phony, to the role model athletes who use their free speech to alter and undermine what our flag represents. Your time is running out. The clock starts now. And Malcolm Nance replied, the ex security guy, whatever he is,
CIA,
spy,
right?
Dana Loesch, this is an open threat to do what? This talk is absolutely dangerous. I'm a big gun owner and was an NRA member. I affirm our Second Amendment rights. But if a policeman, SWAT officer, journalist, or civilian gets killed because their, quote, clock runs out, it's on your head. Retract now.
She's dangerous. She's a scary woman.
Yeah.
Just the look of her is frightening.
Except when she does her Super Beats commercials. Then she just looks like an idiot. She's, you know, puts on her little jogging outfit and her little hat, her little baseball cap that doesn't say anything on it that we should get annoyed at. And then she does her stretches that makes her look real athletic. And then she drinks this terrible stuff that's a powder that turns water red that claims to be beet juice. And who was it? Was it John Oliver? He was making fun of her. And he said, you know what? It doesn't take three beets. She claims that you get three beets
right.
worth in every. And he says, you only need two. You only need two beets worth. Anyway, Rocky Mountain Mike, who I love, he used to do a lot of my blunt videos and he works with Stephanie Miller on doing funny things. He said, remember when Obama said, we get the guns first, started a trade war, paid off a porn star, attempted to obstruct justice, laundered money, paid off a $25 million fraud settlement, was accused by 22 women of sexual misconduct, and spent 25% of his first year in office playing golf?
I do remember all of those things.
No drama, Obama.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know, any one of these things should have gotten him out right
mm-hmm.
now.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are watching him with the Swedish prime minister talking about trade wars aren't so bad. That's the quote right now on the chyron.
Oh, God.
Trump, trade wars aren't so bad.
Says the man who has no concept of history, who wouldn't know American history if it bit him on the ass.
Absolutely right. Rebecca Mulhouse of the Wall Street Journal said, I think Mueller has enough on Trump. He doesn't need me to start giving him information on Roger Stone and Steve Bannon, Sam Nunberg says on CNN. Also calls Trump an idiot. And then another reporter's quoting, I'm not cooperating. Arrest me. Who the hell advised him to let those Russians in the Oval Office? So they were just doing a lot of Nunberg stuff. And then Tegan Goddard of, I forgot the name of his site. Do you remember the name of his site?
No.
Political something anyway. Sam Nunberg apparently willing to talk to everyone in the world but Robert Mueller's grand jury, although he is now. And Rick Wilson chimed in, this Sam Nunberg kamikaze mission is fabulous. And then, so again, today he and then last night also in one of those interviews, he said, well, I guess I'll go. I guess I'll.
Yeah. Hey, Limericking has a Sam Nunberg one.
Oh, go for it.
Sam Nunberg is taking a pause from being compliant with laws. I'll simply say no, he said, and not go, a theory with notable flaws.
I love that. That's great.
Yep. They take the news and they limerick it.
Yeah, it's great. That's like, I should have started a little, I really should start a novelty Twitter feed, but it's just too much. I can't deal with it all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so Natasha Bertrand from The Atlantic said, Tapper, quote, do you think Donald Trump knew nothing about that Trump Tower meeting? Nunberg, no, you know he knew about it. He was talking about it a week before. I don't know why he went around trying to hide it. I mean, you know, that's the type of thing that, although I'm sure Mueller already has bad information, this just verifies anything that he might have gotten. That's what everybody waits for when he does these crazy interviews.
Yeah. Waiting to hear what he's going to say.
You know, and probably nothing Mueller doesn't already know, but we haven't heard. So, you know, that's why he gets the audience. Kyle Cheney of Politico, things Sam Nunberg said on TV, Carter Page colluded with Russia. Trump knew about the Trump Tower meeting in advance. Mueller may have something on Trump. Trump bodyguard told him Amin Agalarov offered to send women to Trump's Moscow hotel room in 2013.
Uh-huh.
So, and then a former Obama rapid response guy, Jesse Charles Lee, said basically everybody on the campaign was totally guilty except for Roger Stone, who was pure as the driven snow.
That's about right. That sounds about right. And that's what Nunberg was saying.
Yeah.
Sounds like.
It was. That's basically, random tweet, Sam Nunberg, this some guy, you know, I don't know, I didn't know the account. Sam Nunberg just fucked Donald Trump so badly that Michael Cohen just wrote him a check for $130,000.
Now that's funny.
That was good. I should have followed the person, but I lost the tweet just as I had. What I do is, you know, I copy and paste really fast onto my page so I have them for you. By the time I go back, they're gone. So
I know. Twitter goes fast sometimes.
Yeah. Okay, so this is a little news item. Lisa Desjardins from PBS. Appropriations Chairman Thad Cochran resigning in less than a month, citing health concerns. This as the House and Senate negotiate one of the largest appropriations bill in U.S. history.
Yeah, so they're going to, he's from Mississippi, and the governor is going to announce a replacement within 10 days after April 1st, which I believe is Thad Cochran's, is his retirement day. And then they're going to have a special election in November. So there will be two Senate seats from Mississippi on the ballot in November.
Right. And somebody already said they were running, and I tweeted it out, and now I can't find it. But a Democrat already said they're going for it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, I wish I could find the name. I'm scrolling. Why don't you? Do you have any tweets? Because I'm done with my tweets.
I do. I have a couple. We've heard about this one today. This is from Ken Sweet of the Associated Press. Emails obtained by the AP show the former CEO of a payday lending company personally asked CFPB acting director Mulvaney to be considered for a job. Her company had been under investigation by the CFPB.
Mm-hmm. I have that same tweet.
Unreal.
There we go with our little corruption. Here it is. Former Representative Mike Espy.
Oh, okay.
Declared his intention to run for the Senate seat held by Thad Cochran. So, people are lining up, as they should.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Good. I hope a Democrat takes it. Anna Navarro. She always tends to sum things up well in tweets.
She does. She's
seriously
good.
Who needs House of Cards when we have the Trump administration? The incompetence, corruption, depravity, scheming, backstabbing, drama, and intrigue in this White House far outdoes anything on TV. 2018 reality is stranger than fiction.
Ain't that the truth? What's this? This is just a random tweet I just picked up from Craig Kaplan, who is with C-SPAN. House unanimously passes bill requiring OMB to study social media use in federal security clearance investigations and report to Congress on results. All right, whatever. I just saw something fly by. I thought I'd pick up on it. I have no idea about that.
I have one more from Ed Krasenstein. Again, I don't know what he does. He's got about a zillion Twitter followers, and I don't know
what
his job is. Norway has just announced that they will be banning semi-automatic weapons by 2021. They haven't had a mass shooting in 7 years, and they're doing more than we are in the United States. Wake up, America.
Please do. Please wake up. Charlie Pierce just tweeted, he was the first one to say Sweden has a problem with, quote, the immigrants. Also, they like Trump. I guess he's live tweeting what's going on here. And then here comes AP saying Trump reaffirms plan to place tariffs on steel and aluminum despite GOP pushback, says trade wars aren't so bad.
Anytime Trump tells you something is easy, it's time to be worried.
Wasn't there a depression that started because of something
Yes, there was.
I mean, come on.
Yep.
Oh, God.
But trade wars are easy to win.
Easy peasy. That's why we do it all the time. Yeah. No, we don't. That's why we avoid those. Swedish people are fantastic people. That, you know, that's what he does. Trump's, he says a bunch of sentences like, Swedish people are fantastic people, because he has nothing else he can say during these press conferences.
Right.
He doesn't know anything.
He knows nothing. Right. That's why we love the Swedes. They're our friends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll hand off to the other guy because he just doesn't know what to say. He'll repeat what he says in his tweets. If we're lucky, we'll get some other stupid thing that he says that we can pounce on. But other than that, he fills a lot of fill.
Yep. Yep. And with that, we've filled.
good. That was a really good segue.
We're at the end of the hour. Got a laugh. Find her here each Tuesday with me. Also on the Twitters at Got a Laugh and at LaffysPlace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Thank you, Got a Laugh.
Thank you, too.
Tomorrow on the program, journalist Johan Hari, who's got a new book out called Lost Connections, Uncovering the Real Causes of Depression and the Unexpected Solutions. Yes, there's a selfish reason that we're having Johan Hari on. He's been on before. He's a great guest. You've probably seen him on Real Time with Bill Maher. He'll be with us tomorrow. Thank you for listening, everyone. See you then.